Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. Hut in the Clock here on Caroline Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hut and Withrow joins us now. Hutton, it's been a lot the past few days, but let's start with Will Levis's performance on Sunday. How surprised were you to see that, and how much do you think that could have had weight in how the Titans approach the trade deadline?
Well, first off, I was surprised, to say the least, because in the first career start, he's putting up numbers and throwing touchdown passes that we haven't seen through the league in a debut, or we haven't seen from, you know, the deep passing game in a debut. We've seen multiple touchdowns before. We saw it with Marcus Mariota. And I think that's why, you know, you don't go full gas on the hype machine yet, because in the NFL, life comes at you fast. You celebrate and you turn around and you see you have a Thursday night football game in Pittsburgh. But look, as far as debuts go and signs of the future, in a week where we were discussing Kevin Byard being traded during the bye week, you have multiple reasons to point to why they should trade some of their star power in order to gear up for the draft and gear up for the future. One foot in, one foot out. And where are they going for the postseason? Are they going for a rebuild? What are they doing? And then the storyline, despite all of that over the last 2 weeks, ends up being Will Levis and this team being rejuvenated, having some energy offensively. The defense looks across while they're sitting on the bench and sees touchdowns being scored and knows that there is margin for error now on their side of the football. And it was a very confident offense. And I think that goes to show what a little juice can do, especially coming off of a bye and knowing that it was a very beatable opponent. But also, I mean, I do feel like it was kind of a last stand feel. I was driving to the stadium, guys. I don't know if you guys felt the same way either watching or going, but it kind of felt like a last stand. You mentioned the trade deadline. Just what's the vibe? What's the mentality? What's the mood? What's reality? And right now, reality is they can contend for a playoff spot with a rookie quarterback that can improve along the way with the best players around them that they didn't trade away.
Do you feel like this team now, and I know that it's one game, I know it's one win, I know you're sitting at 3-4, but 3-4 sounds a whole lot better than 2-5 does.
Sure.
2-5, that's a hole that seems really difficult, if not impossible, to dig yourself out of.
2-5 and going to Pittsburgh, Caroline.
Ooh, on a short week? Yikes.
Right.
Do you feel like this team can make a run, at least for the division?
Sure they can. I mean, we've seen rookies in this franchise come in and play well and lead this team, if not to the postseason, but lead them on a run. Things can be streaky. And I think what's important here is what Levis did well is more than just throwing, you know, chicks dig the long ball. It was more than like the Glavin and Maddox commercial back in the day. This was a very locked in QB, and for what Tannehill was doing and what he's meant to the franchise, we have not seen them move the football in that manner with the receiving core that they've had or didn't have, or they've had D-Hop and he's been very good. We saw that break out in a big way. And even what Tannehill was doing well, Levis picked up where they left off in that area too, like with play action, for instance. So yeah, I think that's it's a big step in the right direction, but also let's make sure that we realize here the rookie is going to have struggles along the way. We just saw the veteran do it. And a lot of that is dependent on offensive line. I mean, all the issues that Tannehill we would bring up for him is going to be faced by Will Levis. And it's about everyone playing the way they did this past Sunday, not just the quarterback. There was a lot of different factors that allowed Sunday to happen, but when it came time for him to make the plays, he stepped up and made the plays, and he didn't try to make the play when nothing was there. And I think the situational awareness is also key with what we saw.
Hutt, you're absolutely right. And I think people are, you know, I don't want to use the word scared, but people, they don't want to, because they point to Marcus Mariota in his first year and what he did his first game. But I want to remind you Marcus isn't the same quarterback as Levis is. When Marcus came out, there were still a lot of questions with his arm strength. And can he throw the ball outside? And he couldn't. I knew that when I watched him play at Oregon. Everything was in the middle of the field. He thrived in the middle of the field. Those hashes were wider, spread you out, hit everything. He never really threw outside the numbers. So you knew, even with a great game that he played his rookie year, you still should have known this kid still hadn't shown he can throw outside the numbers. Contrast that to Will Levis, he can make every throw in the book. Yes, he will come down to earth some, but people, don't be scared to realize you may have something special here. You may have a guy that can lead you to playoff, multiple playoffs, as he's the quarterback here with the Tennessee Titans. Don't be scared and reflect back on Marcus Mariota. Two different quarterback, two different skill sets. Marcus could not spin the ball the way that Will Levis can. And also, the poise that he has, you just don't develop that. You don't lose it. He has the poise, I believe, of a veteran quarterback. That's going to take him a long way.
I think we should also mention just, you know, they had the week. From what I'm told, Levis behind the scenes was locked in from the bye all the way through last week. It was a very good plan by Tim Kelly. But what they did, Mace, is you're right. I mean, they ran their offense. And look, there's a Derrick Henry factor that you can't just look at numbers and figure out here. The Titans are number one in play-action passing yards per game. They're averaging 18 yards per play-action completion. And they're averaging the second most play-action pass attempts per game. Tannehill is a part of those numbers. He had 462 yards. That's third best in the NFL at the time of injury on play-action. Levis steps in on play-action and then has seven completions for 113 yards and two touchdowns. But that's off of what they're doing with their run game. As while we see Henry close to busting one, it's not. It's just their offense and how it's constructed through the backfield. And now you add in the best rookie arm in terms of just distance, throwing off his back foot. Point. I mean, if he was dropping passes in the bucket that weren't even that should have been caught that were not. The touchdown pass to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was awesome. I mean, it was just it was one of those days that we'll look back on and you'll say, okay, yeah, I mean, fans shouldn't be, you know, apprehensive because of Marcus's one game where Jameis Winston's first pass is an interception by Bleedy Ray Wilson, and then Mariota goes in and, you know, throws for the four touchdowns that we saw. I mean, he's in a good situation and he's got the arm to do it, and the question is now, can he build on that? Because he's going to have every opportunity to do it. And I think for the most part, the Titans are going to stick with that as long as the health is fine and as long as the Titans are contending. And this is a locker room, Mace. You can speak to this better than I can. But having been around the Titans for 16 years in the locker room, there was a vibe in some instances where you knew that certain quarterbacks – the defense, the offense, special, everyone believed that game in and game out, that was going to be a factor, right? Mm-hmm. Levis can certainly give that type of energy. There was that boost on Sunday that we saw. You don't even have to be in the locker room. Just listen to Jeffrey Simmons mic'd up on the bench. I mean, that is an energy that can't be quantified, and they're doing it with the same type of production that Tim Kelly was trying to draw up initially, where we all agree, I think, that there were plays that Kelly has done offensively leading up to this game where the offense seems to be better than they were a year ago, but on the scoreboard, they're certainly not. And I think in this instance, they've got a quarterback that can really let it rip. And if D-Hop's going to get the separation that we saw on Sunday, this can be – while it's going to be a bumpy ride, this can be a really fun ride inside that building and certainly for the fan base as well.
Now, I was going to bring up also the other factors around Will Levis. We saw D-Hop versus man-to-man coverage, and, you know, it's like, why are you – even if the man can't run as fast, you don't do, you know, cover him one-on-one without any help consistently, and that's what Atlanta did, and they paid for it. I think Pittsburgh employs something different. They're not going to be a strictly man-to-man defense because that's not who Pittsburgh is. But do you believe that the continued growth for Will Levis also depends on Treylon Burks, him getting himself involved in this offense? Because, again, I think Pittsburgh is going to do a good job at taking away the deep ball because they know the young man can throw it, and that's his strength. Yep. Taking away the deep ball, that's where the big body comes into play of a Treylon Burks and D-Hop for that matter. But I'm looking at a guy that's physical, strong, and fast that hasn't inserted himself in his offense the way he needs to.
I totally agree with you. And it's got to be, you know, going into the season, it was, okay, DeAndre Hopkins can come in and be a number one option, and he's been the number one option for the Titans. Treylon Burks needs to take over that spot, though, right? And he needs to ascend to that level because he was going – before they signed DeAndre Hopkins, he was that guy. It was him. And he's drafted in a position where the expectation is to be good. It's not unfair to expect great things from a young receiver in the National Football League. And that starts with being available, but it also starts with just being consistent. And that's what I want to see from Burks now, is just building, stacking consistent games the way we see from DeAndre Hopkins. The Titans' leading receiver last year was Robert Woods. Mm-hmm. He ranked 77th in the NFL in receiving yards, 530 it's yards, disgusting. 77. And already this season, DeAndre Hopkins has 504 yards. He ranks 21st in the NFL. D-Hop has come in and been more than worth the investment. And now it's time for Treylon Burks to be worth the investment of the 16th overall pick in the NFL draft. That's just the reality of where he is, where he was drafted, and who they traded away whenever they drafted him. And he is a part of the future, just like Will Levis can be. So, yes, it's on him. And by the way, Chigakonkwo, catch the football. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as it is about Burks and Hopkins, Chigakonkwo needs to catch the football. And if we're discussing Levis's day, imagine if Okonkwo catches that pass right before half and where those numbers could be. Again, like, a lot of things went right, and we still see things that can improve around the quarterback. It's not all on Will Levis. It wasn't all on Tannehill. The same guys that need to step up are the same guys that remain out there for Levis too. And that certainly starts with Treylon Burks.
I wonder how much of it is mental with Chig right now. The drop,
I think it has to be,
whatever.
Willie.
And there's also, I also see mechanically the smoothness, he's doesn't have the quiet feet, some of those things that you look for with hands, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yes.
You're right. He is a huge, huge piece to the puzzle here that they've got nothing from. Now, let's talk about this matchup tomorrow night, because we have this image of the Steelers, right? Tough place to win. Nasty. Not going to beat themselves. Great defense. And a lot of that is true. But if you look at the stats, Hutt, it is, they've got some major, major issues. They are very fortunate, I think, to be 4-3. They've been hardly dominant whatsoever. They've won some very close games where you kind of say they pulled a Houdini act. As bad as the Titans' passing numbers are, Kenny Pickett in the passing offense for the Steelers, not much better, and they have a very poor running attack. This is a great opportunity for the Titans' defense to sort of pick up the slack and say, yes, our defense can win us a game.
Yeah, well, that's it. The defense is going to have to get some turnovers. And you're right. The Canada offense will provide. This is also, while I think we can have another great game from Levis, I do, because the environment is not an easy one to play in. But they've already lost the most lopsided loss in the Tomlin era happened this year. By the 49ers, and then they turn around and lose again at home to Jacksonville. It's a place you can go and win, and it's an offense that's not going to put up a ton of points. So I feel a lot like I did just looking at the scoreboard this past weekend. The Titans put up 28, and that's unheard of if you're a Titans fan. The Titans can win that game tomorrow doing a similar style, but it doesn't have to be on the arm of Levis. I think this can be a grind it out. They want to muddy the waters a bit type performance where you're going to rely on your run game. And I think a part of that too is just the offensive line play, knowing that Dillard is going to be inserted there due to injury, and what this pass rush can do, and how the pass rush for Pittsburgh can take over a game and quickly send you to the loss column when you felt like you were playing well enough to do something better than leave Pittsburgh with another loss at Heinz Field. So, yeah, I mean, this is a beatable Steelers team. It's also a very solid, well-coached group, and they play in a division where week in and week out, they hold their own. So I look around and think, well, can Levis have a similar performance? And if he throws the pick, and look, I think if we're going to see him face some adversity. How does he respond to that in a sudden change, or, you know, respond to a bad play and not let it get to his head, have the same type of heady performance that we've seen in 2021 when he's at Kentucky and what we saw last week? Not everything's going to be great. And this is going to be a game packed with some moments where you want to stay on the field, you know, just keep the offense on the field and sustain some time of possession and let Henry go to work. I think they're certainly capable of that, but I hesitate to say the Titans are going on the road to win. And it's because, Willie, of the defensive front for Pittsburgh and knowing that they have to be game planning, thinking this is a game where we can take over as well.
I would love to see Tajay Spears still get the ball three or four more times a game. I want to see him in open space. I think there's something there. There's another level there. Let me ask you this, Hutt. The Titans have been completely different when they have played at home compared to on the road. And let's couple that with the line in this game. The line is 2.5 in Pittsburgh with a rookie quarterback. That ought to tell you something about how the Steelers have played. Because this is my biggest question, is can the Titans protect the quarterback and do some of the things that they just flat out have not been able to do at all on the road? To me, if it looks anything like it has at home, then I really think they have a very good chance of winning this game. But if they play like they've played on the road, which is a very bad team, then it could get ugly tomorrow.
Yeah, it can. Look,
so what is it about being on the road? Like in the NFL, home field advantage is not nearly what it seems, right? The road teams find a way, the crowd and everything like that. It's not as big of a deal as you might think. So why has it been so extreme for the Titans?
Well, I think extreme for the Titans has just been, first off, let's start with the first road game of the season. I don't know why they threw the ball as much as they did for a head coach that says he doesn't want to get into drop back passing situations. It's like, I can go week by week here. And Willie, the other part of this, they're not playing it's cliche, but the complimentary style of football that we saw, Ryan Stonehouse punting 5 times inside the 20, you know, the field position type battle. They've been winning those at home, and they've also played they've played some defenses at home that they can take advantage of. I realize Atlanta statistically was pretty good, but just seeing some of the play in the secondary and the arm of Levis, that plays a whole factor in that. And let's also factor into the on the road, the O-line has had some penalties due to noise or just, bad play that has really struck them and bit them. And now they have they're in a really good spot to go on the road and start with stacking some wins. You get a long weekend if you can do it. Coming back from the bye, you pick up 2 wins and you move forward against Tampa. It's a good spot for them, also a bad spot just given how they've played on the road. And the fact that this has been a team, home or away, where you have to rely on your defense to be dominant. They have to be the storyline. The front 7 has to be the storyline. And when they're not, they've been losing games. And on the road, we've seen the stars of the Titans not be the star power in the game description after the game. And that's got to be a huge factor in this. Jeffrey Simmons needs to be the top player at his position on Thursday night. He needs to be exactly Big Jeff that we know he can be. The disruptor, just like we're going to see from TJ Watt. And Simmons gets to do it against Kenny Pickett, who's banged up. He says he's playing for sure. But, You know that Simmons is looking for a reason to go after the midsection of Pickett. This is, I like where the Titans go into this game. Short notice, short turnaround, I should say. But look, this is not the Steelers offense that's going to grind it and win a tight window ball game. Especially at home where the fans are eager to boo the offense more than cheer the offense when the game kicks off.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate our weekly visits. Thanks for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
Always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great week. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, Hutton. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Hutton, he is the very best. Appreciate him for stopping by. Now, coming up next, Ryan McDonough will join us. Normally, a Preds player will join the Chase and Big Joe show, but given the long road trip, given that they're on the West Coast, Ryan McDonough will join us. So we will chat with him coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.